Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, and host of the Mighty Parenting podcast, as well as co-founder of MightyParenting.com. I wasn't planning to do a show on coronavirus. In fact, we had a different show scheduled for today, which we'll be airing at a later date. And I wasn't going to cover this because I'm not an expert, and you're all capable of reading the news and figuring out what you need to do from that. However, times are weird right now. They're scary for some, frustrating for others, sad in many ways, and difficult as well. And I've heard from parents who are struggling with managing aspects of the situation other than the logistics of food and things like that. So I felt it was important to address the Mighty Parenting angle of this situation. And that is how to navigate this as a family, dealing with the stress, the anxiety, the emotions of the situation. Between scheduling changes, living in close quarters, loss of stability and routines, as well as losing income for many of us, I know that's happening in our household. There's plenty to stress us out, lots to create friction or simply derail us. And so I wanted to address some key issues for our community to help us all navigate this time in the best way that we can. I'm going to be addressing the stress as well as issues with our teens and some ways to leverage the good, because there's always good to be found if we're willing to see it. So first and foremost, we need to make time to take care of ourselves. As parents, we need to manage the stress and anxiety for ourselves, and we need to encourage our teens to do the same. So, taking care of yourself, I know that is the last thing you are inclined to do right now, and I get it. The busier things get, the more stressful they are, the more turbulent they are, the harder it can be to make time for yourself. But it's essential that we do that. It's essential that we care for not only our physical body, but our emotional and mental body. We have a lot to do. We have people to support, kids to take care of, and we can't do it if we fall apart. Dr. Laura Dabney addressed this in episode 94, where she showed us how being selfish is good for you and your teen. So if you're having trouble wrapping your head around the concept, listen to that episode for some pointers and some inspiration. If you're not having trouble wrapping your mind around it, great. Do the things that you need to do. Eat well, drink plenty of water so you stay hydrated, sleep well, and then take time to take care of your emotional wellness. Those are the basic building blocks that we need to cover. At the bare minimum, that's what we all need to be doing. Now, I've said there's a lot of anxiety, and we have to manage that anxiety, right? Anxiety is something that is going to be here, and it's something that impacts our nervous system. It keeps us in that fight, flight, or freeze mode. It's not only unpleasant, it's bad for our health and our immune system to be there frequently. And there's plenty of anxiety going around. So you can deal with anxiety by doing something that helps you get out of your thoughts and focus on your body by using your senses. That's why you'll hear people talk about breathing or looking at nature. It's trying to get into our senses and pull us out of our thoughts. Two of my favorite techniques are box breathing, where you envision going around the four sides of the box. So you start like down at the bottom left-hand corner and envision like a little dot moving up that side and then across and down and over. And you go up where you're breathing in for four counts, across where you hold it for four, down where you exhale for four, and then across four to the count of four again, where you're holding that exhale, that emptiness. And then there's the 5-4-3-2-1 strategy, where we're focusing on our senses. And don't get too hung up on the actual number of things and the order they go in. You just want to go, okay, name 5 things I can see, 4 things I can touch, 3 things I can hear, 2 things I can smell, 1 thing I can taste. And again, taking that time pulls your body out of the thoughts, out of that fight, flight, and freeze mode. As we focus on our senses, it calms our nervous system and switches us from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic mode so that our body stops pumping out stress hormones, which are not going to help our immune system at all. These are both things that you can search online for instructions if what I said here quickly isn't enough. You can also go to sandyfowler.com/corona and coronavirus. And I will post something there in the next couple days. I'll get you some more information, some more instruction there. I will do that in the next day or two just to make sure that you have more support. That's dealing with anxiety. Dealing with stress, which is different. So when it comes to stress in this situation, having a plan that's reasonable for you and your family will help to alleviate much of that. So think things through, talk to your spouse, your significant other, or your child's other parent to decide how you're going to handle things. And while you're at it, don't forget to talk to your teen. Letting them be part of the planning will go a long way toward keeping peace in the household, which also reduces stress. It's also important to accept that you may have to make some hard choices. Making those choices is difficult, but after it's done, it actually reduces your stress. So the stress comes from knowing you have to make a choice and not making that choice and just letting that sit and simmer. It comes from trying to do too many things in a day. So you're not making choices about what you're going to let go. You just keep trying to do everything when you can't do everything. So if you choose what you're going to let go, even if it's painful, once you've let it go, the stress reduces. It also comes from trying to support conflicting goals. So again, it comes back to make the hard choice. What is my goal? What am I actually going to work toward? There might be other things that you would like to do that are even good things, but you have to pick. So when you see a tough choice, make it. Get it over with, and that will help you reduce your stress. This is something that can be really helpful to have another person walk through with you. It's something I do with my clients where we will sort through all the different things that are going on and lay out, hey, here's what's happening, and here are places where you can make some choices, and that will reduce your stress for you. We're also going to be experiencing a lot of emotions. If things happen and our bodies respond to that, and that's our emotion, right? Well, we need to release those emotions. Experiencing them is fine and it's good. We actually do want to fully experience it, but we want to fully experience it and release it and then move forward in a healthy way. And this is another thing that we've covered on an episode before. Jude Bijou explains this in episode 103. So you can check that out to get more details on managing emotion. But the basic idea is that what you want to do is go, okay, am I feeling sad, mad, or scared? And if you're feeling sad, let yourself feel sad. Let yourself cry. Granted, you may not want to sit down the middle of the street and do it, but find a place. Go to your car. Go to a place in your house. Go somewhere where you can feel safe and let yourself cry. Don't let yourself get into the stories. Whether you're mad, sad, or scared, when you are releasing emotion, you want to either not be thinking about things in particular or just allow the thoughts of, this is sadness, or this is fear, or this is anger, or I feel angry. I'm so angry right now. Don't tell stories about it. Don't try to get to the root of it. Don't try to solve it. We, at this moment, don't care about any of that. All we want to do is get to that primal place where we're releasing it. So we generally release sadness by crying, fear by letting our body shiver and shake, and you can fake that, fake it till you make it, baby. And anger is that pushing outward kind of thing. So you can punch a pillow, you can shake your steering wheel, you can take a pool noodle and beat something. You know, we have pool noodles in our basement and we beat on the weight bench with it. Something that lets you push emotion out. And because anger is that hot, outward moving emotion. Again, if you want more than that, Jude Bijou's on episode 103. So you can pull that and listen to that episode to get more information to help you do that and let your teen see you doing it. Invite them to do it as well, because we want everybody in the family to be releasing that emotion and letting that go. I mentioned in there with dealing with stress and come up with plans and things, I mentioned talking to your teen. And here at Mighty Parenting, we've learned that when we communicate with our children, we need to listen to them. We need to listen with respect and without judgment. Yes, they are kids, and our kids right now are going to be having a lot of big feelings. They might be scared. They might not believe we need to do the things we're being asked to do. They're going to be grieving losses in their life. They're losing out on many things as schools are closing and activities are canceled. They're missing those final weeks, weeks that they could be with friends, weeks where they had playoffs and tournaments and competitions and opportunities to show off their skills and their talents. They had a lot of much anticipated events happening, whether it's one they were participating in or one they were going to see, one they were going to support a friend in. They're missing out on spring breaks and summer vacations and other fun activities. Seniors are missing out on some of their rites of passage and possibly on graduation ceremonies. And this is true for both high school and college students. Also, college students, many of our college students are losing out on opportunities for internships or study abroad programs. It's frustrating. It's sad. It's making them angry. And that's all okay. It can even be just the daily routines of school and sports and activities that our friends could be grieving those losses, or our children could be grieving those losses. And that grieving can be hard for us to watch, but it's important to allow them to pass through that process without trying to rush them. We need to recognize that this is a real loss for them, even if it's something that we don't feel like is a big loss, or if we feel like there's something bigger going on, if there's something really major happening in your family, in your life, if coronavirus, if you're in an area where the impact is huge, if you're in Washington State, if you're in New York, you may be looking around and going, hey, kids, suck it up. Look what other people are dealing with. No. We want them to pay attention to others. We want them to have that empathy for other people. And we also need to teach them that it's okay to grieve what they're grieving. So help them move through that process. I can't remember the episode number, but Mark Hundley talked with us about grief with our kids. I'll have all the links to all the episodes I mentioned today in the show notes so that you can pop on over and catch those to get more detail in whichever area you may need it for your family. Because I don't have time to rehash all that in today's show, or we will be in here forever. And that is not what you want right now. I'm trying to keep this kind of short and sweet for you this week too. So those are some of the hard things. Those are some of the difficult things that are going on. There is good news here. And the good news is that this is a time that we can harness to help our teens and to create some good in our family. So one thing is we can slow down. We can take advantage of this opportunity of social distancing to slow down. We live these lives that are often running at a frenetic pace. And now we're getting a little enforced rest. Our kids don't have practices and games and recitals and concerts and events to run to. We don't have all those things to run to. We may not be working. They're likely out of school. So instead of getting frustrated and angry and things, take advantage of it. Take a little downtime and enjoy your family. Plan out how you want to use this time. In episode 80, I talked about the stress-free family vacation. And while it sounds weird, many of those strategies can actually be used here. Now, I understand you're not going to, you're not going to go travel anywhere. You're not going to go visit museums or amusement parks. But you can still use those processes to intentionally design this time. And you can do things together. You can play games with your family. You can enjoy activities in your backyard. You can even camp out, maybe cook over a fire if it's safe to build a bonfire in the area that you live in. Maybe you will choose to stay inside. You know, maybe you're like us in Michigan, it's still cold. And so you're going to read a novel out loud together as a family. Maybe you have a time each evening where everyone grabs a favorite blanket and a cup of tea or cocoa and you read a few chapters out loud. Or start a family hoops tournament, a card playoff, or some other fun competition. Virtually compete with other families within your family. So, you know, my husband has three brothers. We can virtually connect with them or be texting and things, and, you know, we can compete against their family for something. You can maybe virtually play games. Do things that you can enjoy that can draw you together. And talk to your kids. Again, talk to them. See what kinds of ideas they can come up with for having some fun while practicing social distancing. And remember that you can enjoy getting outside depending what area you're in. Yes, you want to stay away from other people, but if you're in the suburbs, you can go out in your front yard or your backyard. Like I said, you can shoot some hoops. You can play badminton, croquet, frisbee, throw a ball, something. Getting outdoors is actually really good for us. Fresh air and sunshine, while we don't know for certain about this specific virus in general throughout history, we have used fresh air and sunshine to help combat viruses because it does kill them. So this is a good thing to do. So we can slow down. We can also teach skills. You know, there is a lot to do and a lot to take care of to sustain a household and care for a family. So this is a great time to let your child help and let them learn some life skills. Cooking meals, doing laundry, cleaning, mending, taking care of some yard work. These are things our children need to learn how to do. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that. And even to do it together. That's another time. So doing chores together is another time that kids can tend to open up. I know I've talked to people who are like, oh, our dishwasher broke and we had to wash our dinner dishes together. And even after it got fixed, I decided not to use it because I found that as we were doing the, you know, I'm washing, they're drying or vice versa, that my teenager would open up and start talking to me about things. Or as we're weeding the garden, they suddenly start telling me what's happening in their life or what they're happy about or concerned about, but they start to open up. So doing some of these chores together means they can learn to do it. You can have some more bonding time. And again, you know, you can teach them skills. So when you're having those family discussions about how to utilize this time, be sure to talk about chores and how they can pitch in more there. What are their ideas on that? What do they think they know how to do? What do they think they need to learn how to do? This is also a time where we can share our values with our kids. We've been having a lot of conversations around our house lately. In fact, my daughter told me this morning that if I said the words social distancing again, she wouldn't be responsible for her actions. So for me, this is a time where Tom and I can talk to our girls about kindness, thinking beyond ourselves, giving back, and how much the actions of one person and one family affect an entire society, and what's our responsibility there with that, thus the social distancing discussions. So we're talking about, you know, the medical system and other societal structures and how we can be good citizens. And it hasn't been easy. it's difficult to wrap our minds around it, to help our kids wrap their minds around some of these things, but it's working out and we're coming up with a family plan and we're doing it together. And it's interesting because it's actually opened up broader discussions about personal goals and how we can use this time to work towards some of the goals that we have as individuals, how we can support each other in that, and how we can still manage to give back to our community even when we're not really going out. So for example, while we're avoiding going out for general things, we do still need to go to the grocery store because we still need to eat. Well, we have elderly people, we have elderly neighbors, we have an elderly relative who are at higher risk and they really shouldn't be out in a store at all. So we can offer, since we are going to be there, to pick up things that they might need and deliver those. We can give back with blood donations. So you'll be hearing from Versity. They are a Midwestern blood bank. They're going to be sponsoring some upcoming shows here on Mighty Parenting. But I have been talking to them, and one of the things that happened is before coronavirus even hit, we'd had some problems with the blood supply. Even in our little local area, they had a day where couple of hospitals contacted them. They needed blood for 5 patients. There was only enough blood for, I think it was 2 or 3. Somebody has to decide who's getting it and who's not. And once for coronavirus hit, there's even a greater shortage because people have thought, oh, I can't go donate. Well, from what I am hearing and what I am seeing, you can still go donate. You do not catch coronavirus through donating blood. They are taking extra precautions to keep the environment safe. So if you are unsure or you have questions, call. Call Versity, call Red Cross, whoever is your local blood donation center. But know that that's something you can go do. And that's something that your young adults and older teens can do as well. You just have to make sure they're going to fit the requirements. But again, your blood donation center will be more than happy to walk you through that and to have that discussion with you about what you need to do. And it's another thing that you can do as a family. The whole family, everyone who can donate, go and do that together as a group. So again, you can be talking to your kids about sharing values. You can talk to your kids and share your values with them during this time. And the last thing I wanted to say is we need to have fun. I know there's so much going on and so much of this conversation and so much of the social media and the news is all about coronavirus. So stop watching the news all the time. Stop trolling social media all the time. Do a daily check-in. Yes, we need to stay informed. That's fine. But decide what it is that you want to know, kind of where you're going to go look for the information, and set yourself a time frame. Go on, check it out, and get off. Because we need to relax. We need to laugh. Our physiology is such that stress and worry actually weaken our immune system. So sitting there and reading about this and stressing about it is not helping us. Love and laughter, on the other hand, strengthen our immune system. So yes, do your daily check-in, find out what you need to know, but get off of the social media, get out of reading the newspapers constantly, and actively seek out ways to bring laughter into your life, into your family's life. Watch comedians, play charades, play Pictionary, do Mad Libs, share funny family stories, dance crazy. Do whatever works for you and your family. So I am here. I want to help support you, including some of these, finding out resources that are available to you, some of the information on stress and anxiety relief, some of the fun things that you might be able to check out. I'm going to be posting things on the Mighty Parenting Facebook page, ideas, resources. So be sure to like and follow that page. That's the best way. Well, actually, like, follow, and then like posts, comment on posts. That's the best way to get Facebook to put those into your feed. Of course, you can always go directly to facebook.com/mightyparenting to see what is posted there. But if you want it in your feed, comment, like, follow, all of that, to try to put that there. And I'll try to also put it on our other social media channels. But I am also dealing with having everybody home and doing the same things that I talked to you about, creating that family time, creating our goals and things. And so I will be putting information out there. I will definitely have links to the episodes I mentioned in the show notes. And you can not only go check out the Facebook page, but you can join our Mighty Parenting Facebook group, where we have more conversation. Love to see you there. And I appreciate you being here and listening today. I would appreciate it if you would share this episode. We want families to be able to navigate this time in the best way possible for them. So please like, share, review, comment, and let people know about this episode. Thank you so much for being here today, for listening, for being part of the Mighty Parenting community. Remember that at mightyparenting.com, there is also a free email series on communicating with your teen, so you can grab that along with the podcasts. Remember, if you're here, you're listening, you are a mighty parent, and you got this. I will see you next week.